I think it's time for a drink.
You've got my heart, your hand. Where should we go? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Last week was really cool. Got to see my mom's leg grow out. She grew a half an inch taller. And then when we got home, Amber, she grew a half an inch taller too. She wanted to copy my mom. But it was just a cool day, you know, and it's just one of those days where you just you're on fire, you know. And but the crazy thing was, like, Monday and like just this whole week, there's just I felt such a I don't know, a heaviness, like the very opposite of what Sunday was. And I was asking, you know, God about it and what's going on and why I'm feeling this way. And and it really all comes back to the gospel. It all comes back to the whole reason why Jesus came. It all comes back to the very beginning of what happened in the garden. It all, like I said, I have a lot of things in my head. I have a lot of things in my spirit, but nothing is in order right now. So thank you, Father, for just putting it all into place and speaking through me what needs to be said to make this clear. I thank you that it's nothing to do with me, but everything to do with you. I thank you that these are your kids, and you love them more than I do, and you want to reveal your heart to them more than I can ever imagine. I just thank you for just making me a dependent instrument in your hand. Thank you, Father. Go with me to, we'll start there. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15:47. We'll come back. We're going to get into some meaty things. Everybody say, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to get it. And it's going to make me strong and awesome. Because that's who I am. If I could find Corinthians, my goodness. It's not next to Genesis. That's why I can't find it, because I'm in 2 Corinthians.
There you go. You said 1547, right?
Yeah. 15. We'll start at 45. Okay. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth. He's earthy. He's from the dust. The second man is from heaven. When Adam, you know, Adam was created from the earth, from the dust. And before he fell, he was in perfect fellowship, perfect communion with God. He knew nothing of lack. He knew nothing of rejection. He knew nothing of insecurity. He knew nothing but life and life abundant. When he chose to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he lost that. I know I've taught on this before, but thank you, Father, for fresh ears and fresh eyes to see and to hear.
when he lost that, he immediately became, he was God-focused and immediately became earth-focused. He lost the awareness of God. He lost the awareness of his own glory. It said he was crowned with glory and honor. He radiated a glory. He radiated such a glory that the animals knew this was the God-man. He had dominion and authority over that. When he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he immediately lost the knowing of who he was. He was here to all of a sudden here. And he lost sight of God. And he said, and he immediately did what? He immediately hid from the loving God who was always with him and always did nothing to make him think otherwise. There was no reason for Adam to hide. Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? I'm hiding because I'm afraid. I'm naked. I'm ashamed. Do you see how he was immediately the insecurity set in? I'm naked. I'm ashamed. What are you ashamed of, Adam? What are you ashamed of? Why are you ashamed? Why are you feeling rejected right now? Why are you feeling insecure? Why? Because he partook of that the knowledge of good and evil. He gave up this life for this knowledge, and immediately he became earthy. He became, this is who I am. I'm an earthly being, right? We have the same scenario going on in our lives. Okay? We have a choice to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we have a choice to eat from the tree of life. When we partake of the knowledge of the good and evil, we immediately become earthy. We immediately become self-conscious. We immediately feel rejected. We feel the insecurities of that. I'm going throughout the week. I kept feeling like a feeling of unsatisfaction, a feeling of self-awareness, a feeling of competition. Like seeing other people of where they're going and what all they're doing, I immediately be like, well, what am I doing? Well, I'm not doing what they're doing. They're doing a lot of cool stuff. I'm just doing here doing nothing. Why am I not getting promoted? Why am I? Immediately, that earthy self, this mindset of competition rises up, and that it all stems from a form of rejection. When you're feeling rejected, the insecurity rises up, and if you feel in that competition, you're feeling that you try to kind of puff yourself up to make you to cover up your insecurity. Well, they're doing all those things. Why? You immediately get into the prideful thinking of, help me, Lord. Of competition, right?
Self.
Of self, right.
Self.
Right.
The self.
Right.
I want to do what self wants, how self wants it.
Right.
Self
wants it. When he did that, he said, but by the sweat of your brow, you will toil to eat bread. You're no longer going to be in this place of abundance, because now your mind is off of Mr. Abundant. Your eyes is off of unlimitedness to now lack and limitlessness. And he became so aware of his lack, so aware of everything that is earthy. He had two sons. He had Cain and Abel. Cain means acquisition. When he do you see how, because he was fallen, he produced, because his mindset, he produced sons with the same mindset. So much so that Cain killed his brother. Why? You don't know why he killed him?
Jealousy,
competition. That whole thing of rising up. Well, God's accepted his sacrifice. He didn't accept mine. He's rejection. It all stems from this form of rejection. It all stems from, Adam, why are you high? Why? Because I feel rejected. And out of this feeling of rejection, become that is when stupid things begin to happen. Stupid decisions and stupid actions come after this feeling of rejection. You don't do stupid things out of a feeling without feeling this rejection and insecurity. You don't. They fell in their minds way before they ever acted out anything. You will always fall in your mind way before you ever do anything stupid. This is the whole reason that Jesus came to reverse this system. When God said, Cain, where's your brother Abel? He goes, what am I, my brother's keeper? Yeah. When we get in this system of this realm, this worldly realm of doing things, we automatically lose sight of the kingdom of God, which is being your brother's keeper, which is there is no competition in the kingdom. When you are fully secure, when you are fully knowing that you're accepted, you walk out this kingdom life. You walk out the gospel. Do you know why Jesus was never, why he never was insecure about things? He knew he was accepted. He knew who he was. All they said, Jesus, these people over here, they're casting out, they're baptizing, they're casting out people in your name, but they're not with us. It's like, if they're not against, they're for us. If they're not against us, like, why are y'all so worried about what they're doing? Because they're not part of our crew. Like, guys, these people didn't accept us. We'll call down fire from heaven. It says, you're totally wrong. You don't know what spirit you're of. This is not, I don't call down fire because people don't accept me. That's not my system of doing things. It's all from eating this earthy realm. And we have to, it's a constant thing that we have to continually be eating of the tree of life. We have to continually be drinking of this river of life. We have to continue. It's not a one-off thing. That remember that manna that they ate would go bad the next day. You can't save it for tomorrow. You have to eat of every single day of this. Because you always go back to default mode in your mind of earthy. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm lacking. I'm a nobody. Nobody even knows who I am. But what? This is not of your system. It's not who we are. But he says first, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth. The second man is from heaven. The second man is from heaven, okay? Adam had dominion and authority on the earth, right? He came first. Well, he forfeited that dominion and authority on the earth by partaking of the wrong tree. Jesus came back to restore this. To restore what Adam lost. But not only restore what Adam lost, but he came from heaven. Okay? So he has authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth, right? The first Adam had authority and dominion on earth. Right? He walked with God in the cool of the day. The last Adam walked as God. We're not walking with God, we're walking as God. We have dominion in heaven and on earth. Because where are we seated? We're seated in heaven, right? Do you know why we say we're above and not beneath? We're the head and not the tail. We are not this earthy man. We were earthy. The earthy person comes first. The blind, the veiled person comes first. But then the second comes, right? And we tap into, wait a minute, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. And it's something that we have to be renewed by every single day.
Several times a day.
Yeah. Go with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:17. Bill Johnson said, "Revelation reveals inheritance. Faith explores the territory." Revelation reveals the inheritance that we have. The revelation reveals about what we have and who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. But faith explores that territory. For so long, we're learning about who we are, but it just stays in here. It stays in here, and we just, well, yes, of course I'm one with Christ. Of course I have authority. But are we really operating in authority in anything in our lives? When hard things come, and are we really operating in authority? We can question it. I mean, is it head knowledge or is it a life? Faith steps out and explores the reality, the revelation that we have. Faith without action is dead. Our theology and our head knowledge of our identity is nothing but garbage without actually putting into action what it is. Last week with there was just an atmosphere after watching that video, an atmosphere of faith. There was an atmosphere that we were awakened and we were all in it, right? And we got the word of knowledge about my mom, about her legs. It happens, right? But do you see, we could have stayed in this atmosphere of wow, yeah, I believe, but done absolutely nothing to step out and do it. I finally got this verse of what it means. The whole work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, for so long it's taught as, you better walk, you're saved, but only by just the skin of your, you better walk it out with a lot of fear, and you better be trembling the whole way. That's how it is. Well, it's nothing about that. We walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's scary. There does arise, even though you have this faith and you have this head knowledge, to actually step out and operate in this, it's scary. And you might tremble. But if this, it's a whole life of exploring and stepping out. Jesus said we could... You'll do greater things than I have done, because I go to my Father. And the church, there's some people who are walking a lot of this stuff out, but the church as a whole, we're not even scratching the surface on what Jesus done. We just talk about what Jesus has done. And I was watching, there's a movie coming out called Dead Raiser, and it's a whole documentary on these people who are going around raising the dead, who people like, well, that they're in this car, and they're like, oh yeah, the film's on them. They're like, we're gonna go to the hospital to go pray for people, and then we're gonna go to the morgue to raise the dead. Like, that's what they do. To go into the morgue just to go raise the dead. I was like, wow. And that's what I'm saying. And it's like, wow. And it's just one of those things that puts in perspective, like, wow. These people are going to the morgue for fun on a Friday night to go raise the dead. Well, and your mind immediately goes, well, how long have they been dead? I mean, Lazarus was already decomposing.
Yeah.
We have to get out of this earthy. He can't do that. There's a lack there. Who can't to knowing where we come from, the limitlessness of who he is and the limitlessness of who we are and what we have if we only believe.
Yeah.
And that's when he really spoke to me about the fear and trembling thing. Is I would be scared to go into the morgue right now. Would I do it? Yeah, but I would probably go in there a little bit like, ugh. When stuff gets real, your heart starts to but that's okay. We're working this stuff out. We're walking this stuff out, letting his perfect love cast all that stuff out. With the whole, when we're in this earthy mindset, when we're in this, we immediately lose sight of the limitlessness of the universe. All you see is what's in front of you. All you see is this little plot that you're on, and you think, oh my gosh, this is it. What am I going to do? And you're trying to draw from your lack. But whenever God was speaking to Abraham, he said, Abraham, look up, look up. He constantly felt the word, look up, look up, and see the vastness, to count the stars, the limitlessness of who you are and what you have. Remember, he said, Adam's mindset fell, by sweat and toil you'll eat bread, right? In this system, by sweat and toil, you get and you acquire. But what happens when we see that we're not in here, but we're up here? Do you see there's no sweat? There's no toil up here. Whenever the priest, God made sure the garments that the priest wore were garments that were cooling, the garments that didn't produce sweat. Because the priests do not sweat. That was the whole thing. We are kings. We are priests of the Most High. We're in this realm, this system of operating of a sweatless existence. There's no sweat in the kingdom of God. There's no such thing. Jesus, we learned a couple weeks ago in Mark 1, he said he came preaching the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. But for so long, we've preached the gospel as Jesus dying on the cross, taking away our sins. We said, well, how in the world can Jesus preach the gospel without him even dying yet? He was preaching the gospel before he died. We've made the gospel all about him taking away our sin. And again, not to downplay this. I'm not downplaying what happened on the cross. I'm just bringing awareness to the fact that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom before he died. He was walking and operating in authority and dominion over earth before he died. And his disciples were actually walking and doing things before he died. Do you see how the gospel, the good news of the kingdom is, man, I've come and brought you back. Now, I've come and brought you back. I've come to bring you back to the original place of where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do here on earth. And it all came from that place of, you are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And he took off and started his ministry. How? You can't operate in love. You can't operate in the kingdom realm and with all that stuff without being connected and without being constantly drinking, constantly keeping your mind and your thoughts being renewed in your mind and not being conformed to this world, because it's so easy to be conformed to how everything works here. This is how it goes. This is what happens. No, it's not. It's not how it happens. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're constantly being renewed to being truly who we are. We are not earthy. Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, may be illuminated, so you may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power in us who believe, in accordance with the working of the mighty strength. There's so many things. Of his mighty strength, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heaven. Paul is saying, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him would be illuminated, that your eyes would be illuminated and enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is their surpassing greatness of power in us who believe. This whole thing is like, man, you have to get this. This is the whole thing, that you understand, that you the revelation and wisdom comes upon you, that you know the surpassing greatness of the power that you possess, that's inside of you now, and what you have. This whole thing is wrapped up in identity, wrapped up in knowing who you are, wrapped up in knowing where you're seated and what you have. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but in the age to come, he put all things in subjection under his feet. Everybody say, all things.
All things.
And gave him his head over all things to the church. Everybody say, all things.
All things.
Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He put all things in subjection under his feet. And then it says, and gave him as head over all things the church, which is his body. We are his body under our feet. Everything is, when he says all, it means all. Everything is in subjection. Creation is in subjection. Subjection. The heavens are in subjection. Everything is in subjection to us. And if we don't wake up, and if we don't get it, so he's like, you have to understand this. We have to understand this. Jesus was not a fairy tale. The things that he did was not a fairy tale. He was walking in this. And Paul says, I pray that you understand what you have, who you are. Because if you don't, it's a matter of life and death. A mindset on the flesh is death. A mindset on this realm, this earthy, is death. You will die in this realm. But a life set on the Spirit, it's life. It's limitlessness. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, including the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Saying, as you were dead in your trespasses, and you were, this, again, this system is, and it's talking about sins and stuff, it's not, it's talking about the noun, okay? You have to remember that, the noun, the thing of sin, that you're trapped in this system of separation in your mind. This, you walk around, your spirit is asleep. You're walking around in this system, in this power, having no idea about who God is, having no idea about who you are, right? And you walk in you're dead in this, according to the course of the world, the cosmos system. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in this, he made us alive together in Christ. Okay? By grace you have been saved. When we were dead in this system, he made you alive together in Christ. Could you see how mankind is wrapped up in Christ? All of mankind was wrapped up in Adam, the first Adam, but now all of man, likewise, the last Adam, they call him, when we were dead, when this whole world was in this total illusion of who God was, Christ came and made and wrapped up everybody in him and died for the world and wrapped everyone up inside himself and made everyone alive. Now, does everyone know that? Is everyone walking out that life? I know it, and I'm not even walking out that life all the time. How much more do we have? How much more do we have? It says, by grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in heaven, in Christ Jesus, in order that the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, but the gift of God. And that is a result of works that anyone can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember, hold on, we'll skip that. We'll go to, how are we saved? By? How do we tap into the salvation that we have? Through faith. Through faith, right. Even that faith is not of yourself, but the gift of God. If this wasn't possible, you would have nothing to believe. You're not believing something to get something. You're believing something because it's already here. You already have it. We're tapping in. The heaven realm, the heaven currency is grace. The earth currency is faith. We now tap in. Heaven and earth collide by faith. You tap into grace by this trust. We'll stop in here. Go to chapter 4, verse 20. Okay, no, start with 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. The Gentiles, you can just put unbeliever, okay? They're walking in the futility of their mind, okay? This earthy realm, this earthy mindset, it's all they know. All they know is this natural, all they know is this place of toil and sweat to get, to achieve, to the dog-eat-dog world of trying to climb the ladder of success to be at the top, of just that earthy system. Where does promotion come from? Promotion comes from the Lord. That's what he kept speaking that to me. Promotion comes from me. Promotion comes from me. Okay? Why are you worried about everyone else? Why are you worried about what everyone else is doing and where? Why are you even thinking about that? Promotion comes from me. When I feel you're ready to be promoted, it will happen. So you need to let it go. You need to let it go. Promotion comes from me. Yes, sir. And it brings you back to that rest of, you're right, man. What am I doing? Why am I worrying? Why am I getting back into this thing?
Your presence.
Verse 20. It says, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth as in Jesus. That is reference that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance to the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Chapter 1, verse 13. For he delivered us from the domain, from the authority of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. The domain, the authority of the darkness, of that veiled mind, of seeing who you truly are. And he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. In the beginning, what came first? Was there darkness or was there light? In the beginning, darkness. Darkness comes first. The earthy man comes first, right? But the light came second, right? Adam came first. Jesus came second to illuminate, to enlighten. He delivered us from the system and transferred us into this realm. And how we access and tap into this realm is through faith. How we access and tap into who we are is by renewing our mind daily. Daily to who we are, daily to what we have. And not only just renewing our mind, but walking it out, starting to tap in and walk out what we know, walk out the revelation that we have. Like Bill Johnson said, revelation reveals inheritance, faith explores the territory. Okay, Lord, we'll end here. Verse 126. That is the mystery which has been hidden in the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. Everybody say, I'm a saint. This mystery has been manifested to me. Say it. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The whole mystery, this whole thing that's a mystery about, wait a minute, what does all this stuff mean? What did Jesus walk in? Like, what? The whole mystery of the ages is now being revealed to us, to this generation, of who we are, which is Christ in us. The hope of glory, the expectation of realizing what we already possess, of realizing and walking about this territory of what we have. He says, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man, everybody say every man, with all wisdom, that we may present who? Every man complete and perfect in Christ. Are we just presenting this gospel or presenting this to believers? Or are we presenting this to every man? We're here to shine the light on them, to awaken them, that do you know who you are? Let me shine the light on who you truly are. Let me show you how perfect you truly are. Let me show you that you are in the image and likeness of God. This is not who you are. Let me show you this. And we present every man to the showing them Christ in them. Christ in the most wicked of wicked people. He's the hope of the nations. He's the hope of glory. He's the hope of this, of the world.
For more information on Kainos Ministries, you can check out our website at www.kainosministries.org. That's www.kainosministries.org.